You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we go over the MLS playoffs because it was a lot of drama.
Yeah.
There were a lot of shoulders injured that we're concerned about. And also, why zoom in on any of that stuff? We're talking about Wayne Rooney. And do we miss Wayne or Colleen more?
He retired at the end of regular time. And on the second segment, we talked to Meg Linehan.
Meg Linehan of The Athletic joins us to talk about the NWSL final that is coming up this weekend.
We going
to
be there.
We going to be there.
It's going to be dope. That and more on this episode of The Cooligans!
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
There's the energy that we need, because that's the energy that the soccer world demands. Alexis may not make it through this entire episode.
Why are there two of you, Christians?
Okay, do we have a blood pressure thing?
Well, what's that thing Mason Toy was sniffing before he went out?
It's called cocaine. I'm kidding.
He is from Essex County.
No, it's
you gotta watch out.
Is it what is it? Sniffing salt. Right? Smelling salt.
Sniffing salt.
I sniff salt.
Guys, can we get a scratch and sniff over here for the players about to play an important game?
I'm not usually sniffing salt or smelling salt. I eat salt. That's all I know how to do with it.
That's that stuff that they used to wake up people before concussion protocols. Oh, man, that guy got hit by a truck. Put some salt in front of his nose. Let's get
he's
up.
Good. He's fine.
Back on the floor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Before we don't even introduce ourselves before we start making jokes about concussions.
We riff before we introduce ourselves.
Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians out here.
We better be.
In New York City with the funniest soccer television show that you've ever seen.
That's right, and it's not just that. It also happens to be the gulliest soccer television show.
Okay.
I know most of you who watch are like, wait a minute, you guys talk about soccer? Eventually.
We get there.
I slow down. You get to work right when you show up? Nah.
So we're excited.
And why doesn't the McFlurry machine ever work? Sorry, I know y'all switch cameras, but why doesn't the McFlurry machine ever work?
It's you know what? That is a big concern.
They're doing it on purpose because they don't want to make the McFlurries. I'm on to you.
You think the employees damage the...
No, I just think they put the cup over it. So, all you do is you put a cup. Oh, it's broken. You ever see that at a bar? They put the cup over the tap and like, oh, sorry.
Okay. All right. Well,
yes. I think you're saving it.
A soccer show, I promise. welcome to the show. So there's too much to discuss, especially because the MLS playoffs, the round one just ended.
Would you say that so far it's been wild lit? You think it's reached that level?
Is it wild lit or wild litty?
Yeah, I think it's both.
I think it might be both.
Yeah. It has been absolutely insane. Like, I know everyone's like, oh, then teams don't take it seriously the regular season because of the playoffs. Well,
no.
If it's going to be like this.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Then okay.
Oh, absolute bedlam? Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Just no rules whatsoever.
Just, 18-goal thrillers every game. You know what? I'll live with it.
The only thing missing is one coach putting like a headless horse, like a horse's head in another coach's bed. It's the only thing missing from the MLS playoffs.
Just some real ominous Halloween,
Just your mascot's head with blood dripping off the bottom of it. Hell
no,
yeah.
Fang, no! Why'd you do this to Fang? Anyway, yes, there's so much to discuss, and we'll get through it throughout this show. But we do have a couple things going on today. First, we do have some unboxings to do, right? Because it's Alexis's favorite segment.
It's the only reason to start a podcast. Okay, if you want free stuff and eventually a television show, just pick up some microphones in your kitchen, find a Dominican who's willing to work twice as hard as you, and just start talking about whatever it is you love.
Yes. When you look at the Cooligans business plan, that's it right there.
It was that. It was written in Sharpie, okay, on the back of a box that had nothing in it originally. And I said, one day there will be free stuff in this box.
Okay. So that's our come up story. You know, when the documentary of the Cooligans is made, it will be in a box.
Yeah, 100%. We're going to unbox our own Behind the Music.
So before we open the boxes, I do want to, can you grab that scarf that Alexis that we just received today? Because
how beautiful is this?
This is awesome. This is from San Francisco City, right?
Yeah, San Francisco FC. San Francisco City FC.
Exactly.
SFCFC. Yes. At no point did they decide to buy a vowel. They're like, we got a lot of consonants. We'll be all right. Look at this. Beautiful.
But this is amazing. We got this from a Gully Squad member, a fan, friend, Jaron Wright, who is in here. He's in this room.
He's in the room.
Make a noise, Jaron. Hey! Nice, in the dark where he belongs.
Yeah, that's right. That's you stay there.
Okay, we'll let you out of your cage at one point. Yeah. So thank you for being here. It's really cool. This is our first audience member watching the show on Fubo Sports. So this is really cool.
And if you want to be an audience member, you just Venmo us $50 and we'll figure out a way. We'll be like, no, we just let our fans do it for free. It's everyone in the studio, but we know we're getting paid.
Let's get to this. So thank you, Jaron, for that. And let's open some of these boxes. Yeah, I'll take this one. You get that one. Yeah. This one. Okay. I see. Well, let's see who this is from.
Ooh.
Okay. This is a hat.
First of all, you guys kick ass. Aw. Coming from the whole, I'm not going to say who it's from, group here in the office. We really appreciate how much you guys went above and beyond for us at House of Soccer. This is from ICC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. On that note, we wouldn't go any longer without officially congratulating you guys on your historic deal with Fubo Sports Network. What's up? I believe it's this that we're talking about. Not bad. Such a huge win for the sport to see it growing in awesome ways, like having two dedicated comedians building an entirely new fan base while speaking to the guys and gals that actually know what they're talking about, especially more than we know what we're talking about. That's amazing. So hope you enjoy this little package we pulled together in your honor. Keep doing what you guys are doing. Obviously, it's working. Don't forget us when you hit the big time. Aw, we already did.
Yeah.
Who?
Who? I forgot.
Oh, look at this. It's like a nice actual little
okay,
box.
So I'll just show this. This is a hat. We got two hats from Fishtown FC.
Oh, that's the new F hat, right?
Yeah, look at that. Just F for, you know what that means. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Food, baby.
F is for Fubo. Yeah. There we go. Let's do it.
They sent us a big, this sticker is too big for my laptop. This is a sticker. I'm not making that up. It's actually a sticker. This is just way too big for the laptop. Yeah, we might have to put this on the wall. If you pay us the advertiser
fee. I think that's a sticker for like an iMac from like, you know, 1998.
It's the first one. Yeah, we'll put that on the server. Thanks so much. Look at all these dope scarves.
Thank you. Yes, if you guys didn't see, we did go to the ICC match, which was between Fiorentina and Arsenal out in Charlotte.
We interviewed a couple Arsenal players. We got retweeted by the new homie Aubameyang.
Yeah, Mike Aubameyang. So that was dope. Right. All right, we got
thumbs down back there. That's why you're not on camera.
So yeah, and if you haven't seen our interview with Megan Rapinoe or with the Arsenal players, you can go to our YouTube channel.
Wow, you thumbs down Megan Rapinoe as well. No, I'm kidding.
How dare he?
Oh, that's right. La Liga North America is also in there as a part of part of this. So check out La Liga and
amazing.
Let's see what's in the box. I mean, this is, you remember when you ever watch like sitcoms on TV and the box would be gift wrapped, but they just open the top, like the top would also be gift wrapped.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know either.
Like they wouldn't take off the gift wrap, like the top would be gift wrap, and they would take it off.
Whatever.
You didn't want, I always wanted a gift.
I don't know
like
what
that.
You're describing. You open the damn box.
Oh my God.
Hey, what is a soccer ball with a drawing on it?
It's a white soccer ball with the crystal erosion written on it.
What does that mean?
You tell me. You're the smart one.
Is this something that we don't know?
Oh, this is from that Hersham studio. This is that piece of art. Remember they had the wall with all the soccer balls?
Okay.
The certificate enclosed item has been personally designed by Daniel Arsham Studio in partnership with the ICC. Inspired by the classic traditions of soccer and the ICC, Daniel Arsham has partnered together to launch 2019 tournament. Look at that.
This is
a piece of art.
This is how uncultured we are. We just see it like, who ruined this soccer ball?
Yo, all right, we're all doing graffiti on a soccer ball. I get it. I'm going to tag up the other side. This is beautiful.
This is incredible. Thank you so much. It looks mad clean. No, it's going to get dirty as hell when you play with it.
They're going to be like, yo, who put sriracha on the, sorry,
Christian. My bad. Didn't realize that was a work of art. My bad.
Now it's a tasty work of art.
Thank you ICC so much for that. Really, really cool.
The scarves and everything. It's beautiful. And the massive sticker. That's a beautiful thing.
Okay. And then finally, before we go to commercial, I do want to give a shout out to the people. We got to show love to the people who show love to us, right?
I mean, absolutely.
So, you know, we do have our podcast on iTunes as well. If you guys are listening, please make sure you leave a review. It's very, very helpful to us. So I wanted to read this review. This came from AQC Crew or AQ Crew.
Okay. Which
is a bit of a, I can't get it out of my throat.
Yeah, you know it doesn't make any sense, but we'll read it.
And it says, thanks for making me laugh at work. You're welcome. All right. You're watching this at work, I assume, right?
We're pretty good. We're pretty good at this.
So, and it says, my coworkers are giving me strange looks, but it doesn't matter because Maradona is Alexis's father.
Yeah! We solved the crime of the century.
You know, it's making people happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, they might be, you know, slacking off at work, but when people say, like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, hey, but have you heard that Diego Maradona is Alexis Guerrero's father?
We should do a segment where I call my mother on speakerphone and I ask her if she's ever met Diego Maradona.
Okay.
This 26 years ago, roughly, give or take.
Yeah. I see it.
Maybe you carry the one. Who knows? But we should do that. And then you can hear her curse at me in Spanish.
I have met your mom, and I know that this segment will go very, very wrong if we do that.
Did she not? She apologized to you, right?
For you
having to deal with me.
Yes, which most people in your life do that.
My wife did the same thing.
But she did. She did say, that she this is what she apologized for. She said that she was sorry that she had never seen you perform live.
She apologized to me through you. First time meets him.
But she said it, and I'm being completely honest with what she told me. She said, I'm just too embarrassed at the things he says.
She's never seen my act. So she's just talking about in general.
So this is how it is. So now you understand why Alexis is the way he is and why how people feel
and
about
the
him.
The only hope I have is that Diego Maradona is my father.
The MLS Cup playoffs this Wild. Weekend were absolutely insane. Where
none of it made sense.
Some of it made sense.
No, I mean just how crazy. I mean, the only game that was boring kind of was Atlanta New England.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. It
were
was the
you
only one.
By any other game?
No.
So
I mean,
that means what I said
is
true.
But I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't call it boring. That's the main thing. I mean, it wasn't boring because ridiculous things happened. Michael Parker's shoulder came out of his damn socket.
Oh, and they tried to put it back in.
They tried to put it back in. Why? Oh. This is a soccer game. I've never seen it. I didn't expect that.
When a streaker goes on the field, they turn the cameras away. The guy's shoulder completely falls apart, and you zoom in. What is happening?
They're really
titties, God forbid. But a man's shoulder falling apart like a piece of IKEA furniture when you move it from slightly left to the right, and all of a sudden we're all in close.
Yeah, they were very again. It was a little too close for comfort.
God.
Nonetheless, it was entertaining, and I think the fact that even you can have these 1-0 games, and because it's you know one and done, and there's so much riding on these games, you can. Every pass is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, they're not going back to the home and away.
No, there's absolutely no reason to.
You cannot go back to that.
you can't do that after you gave me this, you know? This is too good.
You gave me a taste. No, you can't do it. The home and away was, I you know, I like the idea of it. It's a very, you know, Champions League-y, you know what I mean? Home and away. We don't need it. One and done.
Yeah,
single game elimination. Yo, it is wild.
Yeah, the goal for in this game came from Franco Escobar,
who only scores in the playoffs.
Occasionally, but in the regular season. But there seems to be something. The last playoff goal that he did score was in the MLS Cup final, yeah. And it was almost a very similar goal. It's just like he's like this dude that's always in the right place at the right time.
He's also very smart about like if he sees the space, he's like, I should probably do a late run into that space.
Sure.
It seems to work.
it's the Lampard rules.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It, man. Overall, this game, you expected this result for Atlanta United. This was one of the games where you're like, if New England goes into Mercedes-Benz and ends up winning, it would just have been insane. Nobody would have expected that.
Wouldn't that have made you angrier about Bruce Arena's failure at Trinidad and Tobago? You know what I mean?
If they had won that game?
If they
game?
Had won. And like, you can go there and win, but you couldn't. It would have made me angry. No matter what happens, I'm going to be
Alexis,
angry.
Alexis, when are you going to let go?
Have you ever just met? Nice to meet you. I'm Alexis Guerrero. Oh. This is going to be a fun trip we're going to go on here.
So
I never let go. You hold hold on to a grudge forever until it kills you before it kills the person you're mad at. Don't you know those are the rules?
I'm learning. All
come
right.
on. High blood pressure, baby. Get it.
Okay. That's a good commercial for high blood pressure, I guess. I think the things that stood out for, at least for the Revolution, Gustavo Bo didn't have a great game. Carlos Hill didn't have a great game.
Right.
I thought Gustavo Bo had a few too many turnovers. It felt like one of those games where similar to like when you watch Christian Pulisic play on the men's national team, where he's like, all right, I'm the best here. Give me the ball. I'm going to do everything. Yeah. And then I turn it over 12 times.
Yeah. Also, why am I completely surrounded by other people? This isn't fair. When I said, give me the ball, I meant because I was by myself. Now, all of a sudden, I got to.
Yeah, yeah, it's not
cool. I think here's the thing. I think it seemed to me like New England was like, all right, we don't need players in the midfield. Four of you defend. The other four of you wait for the ball to try to score. And then hopefully something happens where we get the ball.
Yeah. It wasn't their best game. And in the form that New England has been in recently, they needed one of those good games in this one.
I'll also say I was so shocked at how Bruce Arena, of all the people that I thought would be able to sort of take apart what DeBauer is doing, and offer up some type of something that confuses them or takes out one specific player. It seems like Bruce Arena just sat back and was hoping that things would kind of get a little messy. You know what I mean? And his team would be able to score. It didn't seem like he came tactically prepared to take on Frank DeBauer's team. I think he was like, let them try to do what we're going to do, but we're going to have so many players forward that we'll score.
Yeah, but how many teams go into the Mercedes-Benz and away teams, you know, and have a good game? Like, it's very rare.
I'm not saying you go out there try to beat them at their own game. I'm saying nothing. I didn't see anything tactically that was like, oh, that was planned. They were just like,
it wasn't good enough. But also, Atlanta's the better team, so it's not too much of a surprise. Next game we have to talk about is Atlanta against FC Dallas against Seattle Sounders.
What an absolutely incredible game.
Unbelievable, Graeme. This is another one where you sort of didn't know what Dallas was exactly going to bring. They weren't, you know, they weren't New England Revolution, right? They're also the seventh seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I believe the 17, right? They clearly the better team between the two, but the energy that FC Dallas came with, especially after I believe they were 2-0 down, was incredible.
And also, these are kids. Don't forget, FC Dallas is literally filled with academy players. These are mostly kids, and they're coming back against a very seasoned team in their own house.
Yeah,
in the playoffs. That's huge. Lucha Gonzalez, you've done an incredible job.
Reggie Cannon with the
playing
first
the
goal.
Wing.
Playing the wing. I don't know. They're like, hey, you know what? Play wherever you want.
Reggie, okay? pick a space.
Have fun out there. That's really what this is about.
Come on. Orange slices when we're done. Get out there.
It was great to see him score, right? Reggie Cannon, you know, obviously we near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
We're huge fans of him. He was on the show last year. But they just fell short. I mean, I honestly thought this game could have gone either way.
But I do want to give a shout out to a player that I made fun of relentlessly. I said wasn't good enough. I said should have went to Germany. I said clearly must have had a left foot replacement in the offseason because my man can't do anything with his left foot. Scores 2 out of 3 goals with his left foot.
Yeah.
Jordan Morris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great game. Jordan Morris. Yes, we got a Sounders fan in here.
Very happy. Wow.
Super.
A hat trick. First hat trick in his career, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it is. First hat trick in his career in the playoffs.
Yeah.
My man showed up.
Yeah, he did. He did have one of the best games. And I think, especially after we also just found out he won comeback
MLS
player.
Comeback player
of the year. Which is good to see. He had a terrible ACL injury in Champions League last year.
Right.
So he missed the entire year, basically. And so it's nice to see him reach the promise and potential that you know, even Jurgen Klinsmann put on him when he was calling him up to the national team while the kid was in college.
Kid in college. Was Stanford, right?
Stanford, right? So he's a smart kid. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't stupid. Well, he also went on a soccer scholarship. I mean, relax. You know, everyone, he's an athlete. No offense, athletes. You're not getting into college. You're not graduating magna cum laude. Okay. If I said magna cum laude to Jordan Morris, he'd giggle because of the second word. Okay. He's like, yo, I'm magna cum loudly.
Yo, pass me the ball.
Yeah, what's up? Not on the left foot, though. Easy. I just have this one put in.
All right. We'll be back loudly in the next segment. There's a couple more games that we have to discuss because there was a lot of insanity. Also, you know, we have to say goodbye to Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney's done in Major League Soccer.
It was his last game. Shouts to Colin Rooney.
It was the way he wanted to go out.
Yeah. Yo, I'm going to miss Colleen the most. Yeah. I'm going to say that.
You know what? I think she kind of stole the spotlight there in the end.
Yeah, you make it hot. I'll tell you this much. She didn't give up 4 goals in the last 3 seconds of a game.
Unfortunate. DC United loses to Toronto FC 5-1. Obviously,
I think Wayne Rooney's contract said only 90 minutes. He was like, y'all going to have to do the rest on your
You're going to have to play a man down. Yeah, right?
I got to catch a flight to Sheffield.
You know?
Your boy got to go.
My heart's not in it anymore.
Sorry, bro.
So, no, man, unfortunate for DC United. Obviously, that wasn't the way they wanted to go, but Toronto was unreal, especially in extra time. They tied the game late. Which was incredible from DC United because they were struggling to find that goal.
They were struggling to find goals almost like the last third of the season. So the fact that they made it this far, I think, is still impressive. Still goes to show how strongly they started the season. But, Toronto, I don't even think are that strong of a team.
At home, they're pretty good at home. They haven't been, especially when Josie and Michael Bradley made the decision to not take the international call up because they were in that. They wanted to make sure they got in the playoffs. They were beneath the line. Was the right decision, right?
Yeah,
they got their team in some good form and a home playoff game, and they played well. I mean, look, in that extra time, I don't know what happened to DC United. They just to give up
capitulated
4 goals.
Like to say
to give up 4 goals. They gave up 3 goals in the first extra time.
It was what?
Oh no! In they gave up 4 goals in the first extra time.
It's the Osorio and Nick De Leon goals that killed them. Because there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, but that Nick De Leon goal, oh, boy.
He scores bangers for a while now.
Scored another banger before that Bilhamid had stopped. But it was, if you saw the post-game conference, the interview, that was his old team, right? Yeah. And DC United, I don't know the exact story, but I don't think they wanted to pick up his contract. And he had been with the team for 7 years.
He was talking mad Toronto slang. He was like, y'all waste you. Wallahi. Y'all waste eating poutine, like he being mad disrespectful.
He is very not DC anymore.
Wow, he's putting mumbo sauce on his poutine. What up now?
But they asked him like, how did it feel to score against your old team? And this is how you know how the negotiations went, when the way players answer that question.
Right,
but he was like, it felt real good, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh. He was like,
mother's milk.
I'm like, okay.
Damn.
Says it all, you know? Because usually during the negotiations and after, they'll never say anything.
Right, of course.
They don't want to burn any bridges. But once they score on the team, they're like, oh, that organization is trash.
You know, like in England, sometimes a player score against their old team and they'll put their hands up like, I'm not celebrating. In America, they're like, what? This is you're missing.
Where did I get this flair from? I don't know.
Why don't you take that tip and shove it?
I think the conclusion here is how kind of disappointing it was for Wayne Rooney's time in MLS. It really wasn't.
I mean, look,
it had its moments.
It I would say it christened Audi Field.
Okay.
And that's all that happened.
All right.
And then the Colleen thing happened. Like, that's it. That's the timeline.
No, man. The screamers from the chase back.
Lucho Costa also was like nowhere to be found. That guy's clearly off the team.
Yeah, I don't
Rooney's
know.
Rooney's gone.
It's just DC United, towards the from an organizational level, we're having issues.
It's having a very DC moment.
Yeah.
We're going to start calling it the Ben Olsen administration.
Okay. So next up, let's talk about RSL against the Portland Timbers. RSL wins this game 2-1 in a great game. It's tough to play out there in the Riot. The Timbers tried their best, but
look, RSL played well. All of this is on why was Diego Valeri Now, so I know he was injured. I'd rather have him in there for as long as possible. Who's the kid who they brought in? Polo? You ever heard of this
Andy
guy?
Andy Polo, yeah.
You know Andy Polo?
I know Andy Polo.
I thought they took somebody out of the stands. Did they do a scratch off? How did my man?
I believe he's Costa Rican. Andy Polo, he's a good player.
Yeah, I don't think he... Wait, he scored one goal, I think,
he's
so far.
He's not Valeri, I know that, but I'm just saying.
Well, then, I mean, you couldn't...
It was a bad... Look, yes, if you lose, if you win, it's the right decision. If you lose, it's the wrong decision. That's just how it is.
I think it's the wrong decision, no matter what. And I think Valeri's gone, right? I don't think Valeri's coming back.
He hasn't re-signed.
Higuain's also gone.
Higuain, yeah.
Imagine the both of them in the same midfield. Montreal, only team who would do that.
Oh, I mean, would they be able to play defense? Would they be tracked back? They're
who
slow.
Who cares?
They're old Argentinian men.
Think of the mate.
Dairon. Dairon.
My best.
Scoring his goal as he does in the playoffs. But there was a huge moment that went kind of viral. Steve Clark with the save from, I forgot his first name, Herrera. But Herrera gets Steve Clark, chases the ball down, clears it. And you would hope that one of a Portland Timbers defender would see that there's an open net and be like, all right,
I'll just score here.
but we'll be like, let me look out for my keeper.
Why don't I run back here?
Because that's my homie.
Right.
But no, nobody did that. No. And Herrera has a clear opportunity, and
Herrera
strike.
Also kind of like looked around like, none of y'all going to do anything right here? Fine.
Okay, and this is the playoffs, but whatever, single game elimination. I don't know the rules anymore.
It's like you reach for a cop's gun. He's like, go ahead. Go ahead, grab it. Go ahead, play with it a little bit. You're like, is it a trap?
He can't be serious.
it felt like no one told him they put plexiglass in front of the goal. He's like, I could just score, and I was like, yeah, this will be funny. Go ahead.
Herrera sends like this knuckler going in that's going into the top corner. Steve Clark is like, oh, nobody's going to go help me out, and saves the ball, which it would have been a spectacular goal if it was scored. But it was a spectacular save because he denied the goal.
I don't know how far RSL can push it, but it does seem like they're the team that no one was talking about. And now all of a sudden people are starting to worry about.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have to talk about Philadelphia and the New York Rebels.
Wow.
What a game. This is
what playoff soccer is all about.
This is one of the greatest MLS games I've ever seen in my life.
This and the Seattle game together, back-to-back, heart attacks left and right.
This was insane. And obviously, for Philadelphia Union fans, there was ridiculous heartbreak. Andre Blake dropping the ball and making these mistakes.
Blake did not start off the game well at all.
Not at all. And then the Red Bulls, I think having a little bit of being, I think the mistakes made them a little overconfident. And then the second half.
I wouldn't say they capitalized much on everything, though.
No, they didn't, clearly. Yeah. But unfortunate, it was a Sims that got injured. Then Kaku got injured.
Who scored the first goal, right?
Sims. Then Kaku gets injured. And this offensively completely crippled the Red Bulls, because the second half and in extra time, they had absolutely nothing.
It's a bit of a high wire act that Jim Curtin likes to play, right? Which is like, oh, let them try to figure us out to the 60th minute, and then we're going to bring in Marco Fabian and FIFA Pacol and switch everything up.
FIFA Pacol? That should be his new name.
Sorry. Fafa Pacol. FIFA Pacol.
FIFA Pacol.
Better name. I think you're welcome. Pacol family. What you doing? Don't you want to play soccer? That's why I'm going to name my kid. I'm going to name my kid P.E.S. So Fafa Pacol comes in. Marco Fabian comes in. I think El Seño also came in, right?
Yes.
Those are three starters on almost anyone else's team. And they come in, completely changes everything. If you're the Rebels, you're like, wait, what? We're doing what now? Who's here?
It's wildly, wildly entertaining. They were just, the game itself had that entertainment. El Seño, I thought, was incredible. Yeah. I don't know. He's a super sub now, right? He's like, you could hopefully get half an hour out of him, right?
Right, right, right.
But the dude, he cuts everybody up. He did an elastico in the box. Yeah. Whoa, man.
You're doing too much.
It's a single elimination, bro.
That's how you are when you take a nap? Wild disrespectful. Too much energy.
Just insane. And the result, and just incredible. And talent energy, we were just there a couple weeks ago.
Incredible energy.
To be in that stadium, them. Talent Energy is becoming one of the more entertaining venues for sports in the country. Just in the last couple of months, last year they were like nobody would go to games, and now it's packed and intense.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to say is shouts to BWP, who ends his career probably, right?
Who knows?
The Rebels. Luis Robles is probably out as well. The two of them embraced. And I listened to the game on the radio because I was driving back into town, and Ernesto Moto, I believe his name is Mota, called an incredible game, lost his voice midway. Shouts to you. I hope they bring you back. That was an incredible job he did calling that game. A lot of passion.
The Los Angeles Galaxy go over to Allianz Field. And
by the way, no home team has lost yet. So you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
They're looking like Minnesota time.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
That's what we call it. Is
Minnesota time a thing? I didn't know it was a thing. Anyway, yes. LA Galaxy go to Allianz, win 2-1. And this was when in our predictions last week, this was the one I said, I think LA Galaxy is the only team I thought could win on the road.
Right. I said the same thing.
Did you? Who knows?
Although Matt Doyle said Minnesota was going to win MLS Cup. So,
okay. Well, there's...
As long as I end up looking a little bit smarter than Matt Doyle, I think I've done pretty good.
Yeah, you only said San Jose was going to win MLS Cup, which is probably...
Yeah, but that was like 3 months ago.
Give me Who remembers that?
Nobody. You got to bring it up. Snitch over here. Oh, I didn't know I was doing a podcast with Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I got that makeup covering all my face tattoos. My bad.
Witness protection makeup.
So, Tekashi 6ix9ine in blackface. That's what he's doing now. That's how he's going to get away.
Yeah.
That's how he's going to get away. He's going to be insensitive to a whole new group. No, the Sebastian Legette, this game, the first half was I had even tweeted. I'm like, oh, this is a nice, quiet, dull game because the other games have been a little
and
too intense.
Somebody went like, boosh, and switched.
Turned it on, and then we get goals. Sebastian Legette, it kind of that late run in the right place at the right time. He knows what he's doing.
The Dos Santos goal might be the goal of the season.
I thought Dos Santos was not getting enough virality. Is that a word?
What are we doing in an ad for Cialis?
It's not viral enough because I thought the goal was incredible. And also, I hope it's...
Why did you just say it that way?
I wanted it to sound more intelligent than I actually am.
This isn't Total Soccer Show. This is Cooligan.
So, what ends up happening now, we get El Tráfico in the playoffs.
But also, look, Grey Goose scored. And we always got to give a shout out when a guy named after liquor scores.
Exactly. You know?
This is going to be, this is the game everybody wanted to see.
Yes.
In the playoffs, LAFC's never beaten LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy traveled to Bank of California Stadium.
Yes. And guess who else is going to travel to Bank of California Stadium?
We're eating all the tacos.
Okay.
All of them.
We have no more money. We spent all our money on this.
We legitimately didn't. My wife and his girl are like, wait, you're doing what? We're like, so sorry. I got to sell your chain.
But we got to go to this game. So we're going to be there, which we're absolutely thrilled about.
The last time we were on the road, though, was when we went to D.C. to see U.S. just slap around Cuba.
Okay. This is when things were a little bit better for the U.S. But we got to do something super cool while we were on the road there at Audi Field.
I wanted to interview a Cuban player. That's what I wanted to do. So who better than Nelson Johnston?
Yes.
The goalkeeper. Seven goals.
We interviewed the goalkeeper that gave up all the goals, but it was actually a really, really cool
It was dope.
Experience. So
you can actually hear how nervous I am talking to him. I'm like, oh my God, it's an actual soccer player from Cuba.
So let's go to that. So this is the interview with Nelson Johnston.
Vamos a hablar un poco de hacer un jugador de fútbol cubano que en Cuba se juega más béisbol y otro deporte. ¿Cómo se siente hacer un jugador de fútbol y representar la cultura de fútbol cubano?
El fútbol en Cuba está avanzando paulatinamente, ganando, me entienden, en espacio. Sabemos que el béisbol es nuestro deporte nacional, pero nosotros, por lo menos en mi parte individual, me siento muy contento de venir acá y representar mi país en cualquier parte del mundo que me siento digno, ¿me entiendes?, de representar mi bandera. Y el fútbol vamos a seguir llevándolo más adelante para ver si alcanzamos el lugar que necesita en el mundo o en el Caribe también.
¿Puede hablar un poco de la experiencia que se gana en las competiciones así ¿Y qué cree que viene después para en el futuro para el juego de fútbol y balompié para Cuba?
Sí, hace poco, en julio, tuvimos la Copa de Oro, que fue casualmente acá en Estados Unidos. Ganamos mucha experiencia porque jugamos con un equipo como México, que sabemos que fue campeón de la Copa de Oro. Y ahora estamos involucrados en la Liga de Naciones, en la Serie A. Realmente estamos en la cúspide, ¿no?, de CONCACAF. Pero bueno, cada vez que salimos y jugamos contra un equipo de estos, sabemos que seguimos teniendo algunas dificultades, pero nada, trabajando poco a poco. Y nada, va a salir el resultado si Dios permite. Vamos a trabajar todos los días duro porque el cubano se caracteriza por eso.
¿Qué piensa que la Liga de Naciones puede hacer para el Caribe, para el fútbol en el Caribe? Entonces, y también, como yo soy dominicano, ustedes ganaron contra la República Dominicana.
Gracias a Dios.
¿Cómo te sentiste después de ese partido? Y también la primera pregunta, ¿qué la Liga de Naciones, qué puede hacer para el Caribe?
La Liga de Naciones brinda muchas posibilidades, ve, a equipos que anteriormente no tenían no estaban muy involucrados en estos tipos de competiciones, pero la Liga de Naciones te da esta posibilidad. De nosotros, un ejemplo, hacía tiempo que no jugamos contra Estados Unidos y ahora tenemos la posibilidad, como casualmente también tuvimos la posibilidad de jugar contra Canadá, que son equipos muy, muy fuertes. Pero nada, realmente lo que te brinda es eso, que equipos que a lo mejor antes tú decías, un ejemplo, Curazao, y Curazao ahora hoy por hoy está también entre los equipos, ¿me entiendes?, involucrados, y que realmente tú dices, y tienen jugadores que brindan, jugadores que están ahí en la MLS, están jugando en segunda o tercera división en Europa. O sea que vale la pena, esta Liga de Naciones fue una buena idea. Y por lo otro, nada, Dominicana y Cuba es un solo país. Nosotros tuvimos casualmente allá, enfrentamos un partido amistoso con la CL de ellos y se quedó 0-0. Y realmente el fútbol de nosotros es muy similar, ¿ves? Pero ellos tienen su liga, nosotros tenemos la de nosotros, pero siempre va a seguir y va a perdurar la amistad entre nosotros. Y bueno, poco a poco se va a ir demostrando, ¿ves?, que el fútbol cubano está avanzando. Siempre digo esto porque es una realidad, no podemos tapar eso con un dedo. Tuvimos una Copa Oro, gracias a Dios no fue el resultado que nosotros esperábamos, pero bueno, tuvimos una Copa Oro, estamos entre los primeros de CONCACAF, o sea que hay un resultado y hay un trabajo que se ha hecho, ¿me entiendes? Y bueno, ahí estamos.
What an honor that was, huh?
How cool was that?
We got to talk. I got to talk. Well, we both got to talk.
Yes.
I didn't want you to, but you did anyway. But we both got to talk.
You know?
This isn't your place, Christian. No. We both got to talk to an actual Cuban national player. And yo, how gracious was he to actually do the interview?
Yeah.
Having just given up 7 goals and been wildly embarrassed, but the hair stayed in place. And look, if we know anything about Cubans, it's the hair is important. Why do you think I wear my hats like this?
Okay. there's a system that he has when it comes to
Yeah, someone's like, how come none of your hats fit? I'm wearing it like this on purpose, Baba. I want you to see the hair.
No, that was cool. Thank you to Nelson Johnson, and I hope the best for his future and his career. Yeah. Hopefully he's not giving up touchdowns regularly.
Leave that man alone.
That's all. But yeah, look, all love to Cuba, man. That was super cool and very something unique.
A lot of those players were walking past. We were kind of like afraid to ask any of those players because they were all very sad.
Yeah.
The coach was in pretty good spirits. Like, what do you expect me to do? They're young. You know, he was like, you know, people keep running away from the country. What am I supposed to do? It's kind of true.
I don't know what to do.
He's like, I can't answer that. But he came up to us. I was like, yo, do you mind talking? And he wanted to say no, but then I think he heard our accents and was like a little bit.
And he was like, oh, they clearly don't speak proper Spanish.
Yeah, they don't know what the hell they're talking
about.
I'm not
going to waste my time with them.
Also, everyone else is like super professional and we're just standing there with like a phone on a gimbal. Like, you want to talk to us? Yeah. Clearly, we're not professional in any way, shape, or form. And look, it was a great interview.
Yeah, it was. It was. So thank you again. So let's talk about the U.S., their next game, which was against Canada.
Yeah, also went really well, right?
Yes, they really, they got revenge for Cuba, right? Yeah. Canada wins 2-0. I'm really, there's not really, look, there's nothing we're going to add that hasn't been said already outside of
you're trash,
B. What's up? Yo, I thought you got 7 against Cuba. What a ridiculous result against Canada.
Well, remember I asked, I think it was Zach Steffen or Brad Guzan. I was like, yo, you just won 7-0 against a country clearly not at your level. You think this is too easy? You think you're going to be too relaxed walking into a game against Canada who's clearly going to be up for it against you? And he's like, no, we're focused for everything. Well, why are you lying in my face?
Yep, that's what I'm glad we have this platform, a TV show, so Alexa, we can tell soccer players, like, yo, why are you lying right to my face?
Right to my grill, B. You're just spilling nothing but cap.
Look, after this loss, you know, before the game, it was like, why are we playing in Nations League?
Yo, this is too easy.
After this game, it's like, fire everybody.
Yeah. Why we got to play such tough competition?
Yo, pick how you feel. Is it important or is it not important? It's just like, how?
You know, Greg Berhalter's on the phone like, quick, set up a friendly with Guadalupe. We got to tally up the score a little bit.
Canada hadn't defeated the U.S. in like 35 years, hadn't scored a goal on them in like almost 20.
Yeah.
So
perfect time for the U.S. to just completely fall apart in front of them.
This is and you saw it after. So on the weekend, DeAndre Yedlin.
Look at you on the weekend, all English.
Is that what they say?
On the weekend? Okay. What was it like when you went to university?
on Saturday.
Yeah, there it is.
No, but with the game between DeAndre Yedlin and Christian Pulisic, Chelsea and Newcastle, there was a lot of like murmurs about how both of these guys were now excited to go back to their club so that they can get away from kind of the mess of the U.S. soccer like program.
And mind you, this is a Chelsea that has a transfer ban for 2 years and Newcastle. And that is a safe haven from the mess of the men's national team. Yo, how bad is it?
After this result against Canada, that is like kind of the storyline of like, how bad is it really? And is it, you know, now the questions of like, should Berhalter have the job? And should we start looking towards the future? Are we even going to make it to the next World Cup, which would be beyond devastating to miss two in a row.
I mean, the only way we're going to keep making World Cups is if we host them all. Okay. So here's what I'm saying. Arrest more FIFA executives. Start with FIFA Picault, okay? And then you work your way down the ladder.
That's right. He's the top executive. We all know that.
Tip of the top.
His name is FIFA. It's right there.
You don't do that unless you're going to become the leader, okay? For real. Go get the FIFA executives, extradite him again, okay? And then you say, like, yo, we'll drop the case if the U.S. hosts every World Cup because you know we got the stadiums for it.
Unfortunate. Yeah, I hope this isn't... I hope this loss isn't a sign that something wrong with the program, but it feels like
how many more signs do you want? You're like Lois Lane. You put sunglasses and you don't know who it is.
That's really the best like analogy for what's going on with U.S. soccer. We're all like just like, no, it's fine.
No, I don't know. I think he's a good reporter.
Next game, we'll get him next game. The MLS Cup playoff semifinal matches.
That's right. Thank God you said that.
Are coming up. And obviously we're thrilled about them. We're very excited because if they're anything like the games on the weekend,
your monocle just fell off.
Let's start with NYCFC against Toronto FC at Citi Field.
That's right. The home of NYCFC.
Okay. For years.
Yeah. Been there. I remember going there as a little boy.
But honestly, look, some soccer teams only have one stadium. NYCFC has like, this is probably the fifth stadium that they've played in.
Also, if we're going to keep track, two baseball stadiums, that's got to count as one soccer-specific stadium.
Hey, it's not bad. I'm comfortable with that. Yeah. Makes sense to me. NYCFC against Toronto FC. This was, NYCFC fans probably would have preferred DC United over Toronto. Toronto's in pretty good form.
Yeah, but they've got some big-name players as well.
Yes, and I don't think, I don't know if Jozy Altidore is healthy enough to play in this game. So that's kind of that main concern. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the difference from the last time NYCFC played Toronto FC in the playoffs, where they were absolutely dominated, home and away. Right. So
I do like the chances of NYCFC because they're on a smaller field, right? And I think a smaller field negates some of the talent that like Pozuelo and Michael Bradley have. Michael Bradley likes to sit deep. There's no such thing. All right, you're sitting in the stands. Yeah, if you want to sit deep, you're going to go get yourself a hot dog while you're at it, okay? And Bosuelo in tight spaces where he doesn't have a lot of chance to be that creative.
Toronto hasn't been that dominant at when they play NYCFC at Yankee Stadium. No. So I think go with the home team here. You go with the home team here. I think they have the strongest shot.
The only bad thing might be that they haven't played in a few days, at this point, 3 weeks.
Correct, but they did have that scrimmage against Chicago Fire.
Behind closed doors, which you can't tell if it really happened. Right? If I tell you I worked out behind closed doors, you're going to believe me? I don't think so.
Seattle against RSL. Seattle
is going to be lit. I can't wait to watch this game.
It's
going to
be
7-5.
Two strong teams. It's difficult to not go with the home team here.
You got
to
go Seattle,
especially with that four. If Jordan Morris has a similar game, they got this one. But I don't expect this one to be 4-3 it was against
Riot. The Riot's going to be nice, but you got to go Seattle. They have too many pieces.
The Riot.
They're playing in Salt Lake.
They're not playing in Salt Lake.
Yeah, they are.
It's Seattle's the higher seed. Why would they play in Salt Lake?
The bracket right there says they're playing in Salt Lake.
Oh, then the bracket's wrong. Oh, it's in Seattle. It's in Seattle. See?
Okay, so you got to swap those. My bad. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, so next up is Atlanta against Philadelphia. Atlanta, I was hosting this game, Alexis.
Yeah.
Just so he knows.
Who?
a great game. I'm excited about this one. And obviously, now that we know Miles Robinson and Michael Parkhurst are not going to be playing, Philly has a real shot here because they're going to send up FIFA Picoult up front. and they're going to give Jeff Laurinaitis, who's probably going to play center back.
P.E.S. Fabian is going to come in the second half.
So I think Philadelphia has a real opportunity to win here.
What is that? The puncher's chance?
A puncher's chance. Yeah. Exactly. So I wanted to mention this because Joseph Martinez posted a picture on Instagram, and then Andre Blake, who clearly they must be friends, they must be cool,
right? They're mad cool. He was like, I'm ready for you. Right, what do you put, like, I'm coming for you, homie?
No, he goes, I'm coming for you, bro, watch out, good luck, my friend.
Not so bad, right? Very nice, sweet. Light. My friend. He ended with my friend.
My friend.
So Joseph Martinez clearly going to answer back in a very respectful, friendly manner.
Joseph Martinez responds to this comment. He just goes, I kill you.
That's it.
That's a little too intense.
I kill you.
Joseph. Relax.
Take
a little
easy,
bit.
Buddy.
Be intense on the pitch, not on the internet.
Rivals, not enemies. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
And you and some people who are in this room.
In the studio.
Making this happen. Gully Squad, thank you so much for the members who are already a part of it. For the members that are in this room, Jaron.
For the members that are right now about to sign up and become members.
Exactly.
It means the world to us. It's what allows us to get to all these events and shoot some amazing content. We got to talk to one of the Cuban national team players.
Yes.
Only because of you.
That does not happen without Gully Squad. Okay?
That's right.
So if you want to join and be have access to, coming to the studio, watching the show.
Do you want to give us questions for some of the people that we interview?
Exactly. So you go to soccercooligans.com and click on Join Gully Squad right there, right at the top. Very, very simple. So
it means the world to us. It's what allows us to keep doing the things that we're doing, all because of you guys.
Exactly. So please join today. No, this is exciting. We're excited to. It's been an exciting week, right? Because I'm using the word excited a lot.
Clearly, you're either excited or trying to figure out how to finish this lie to a police officer.
Hold on, let me get my thesaurus.
I'm glad you pulled me over, officer, because I also, you must have seen the car that was chasing me, right? Who put this liquor in my mouth.
No, it's obviously with MLS, the playoff, the October.
What are you saying?
The Yankees losing the MLS playoffs, the NWSL playoffs. Like, there's just a lot
there's
of
too much
excitement going around. And
the Jets getting scored on after and before the game. There's a lot happening.
There's so much happening. And I'm glad we have our next guest to make
sense of it all.
Exactly. Really, to make sense of our lives.
Yeah,
really
help us out.
Please introduce our guest, Alexis.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, works for The Athletic, knows everything about women's soccer, is going to school us right now. She talked to us last time, was from Paris.
That's right.
But now she's in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Meg Linehan.
Hello.
Meg.
I don't know if I can explain your lives to you, but
no, help
I will
us out.
I will do my best to at least guide you through.
Yeah, what's one change we can both make?
Sunday to the end of ESL Champion.
Okay, cool.
But I mean, look, this is why we love having you on, is because we didn't know this. The last time we had you on our show, you told us you're the only person that is full-time covering women's soccer in America.
From a mainstream sense. There are some, you know, individual, like, smaller sites that have subscription models.
Yeah, but like you said, they're trash, right? You gotta go to you. She didn't say that.
But in terms of, like, an actual full-time, like, I have health insurance. That's a nice thing. I like that's having already, health insurance.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's one thing that we could introduce to our lives that would make it better.
Ooh, doctors.
So thank you for the inspiration.
But in theory, I am the only full-time person that's out here writing about NWSL and U.S. national team.
And that's something that just came with The Athletic, correct? That's not something that was happening before, and then you just simply switched to The Athletic.
Yeah, no, it was basically... So before this, I actually worked with NWSL directly in their media office, and then I basically got the chance to hop over to The Athletic and write about women's soccer full-time and also, like, sleep more, because before it was... You know, I'd be in the office.
You were the media department. Yeah.
So now I actually get to sleep. Like, I watch the games from home and I have a beer while I'm watching, and then I go to bed. So, you know, it's really a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely.
Mostly me.
All now, right. What's the one thing that you're most looking forward to so far? And we'll talk about what led up to it. We'll talk about some of the other teams. But NC Courage versus Chicago Red Stars.
Yep.
What's the one thing that, like, our fans should be looking at? What are you excited about when it comes to this game?
I mean, so... First, it's really nice because it's the first new matchup that we've had in the championship for a while. We've gotten Courage and Portland Thorns FC for a few years in a row. So the addition of the Chicago Red Stars, kind of a nice new welcome thing.
Yeah, it's been Lakers Celtics every year.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's not a bad thing, but now we get Sam Kerr in an NWSL championship. It's also Heather O'Reilly's final game as a professional soccer player for North Carolina. Like, I personally choose my favorite player before I started actually covering women's soccer. So if you see me, like, quietly weeping in the press box, that's why.
Good. I thought it was because maybe I farted in the press box, but we know now it's Heather O'Reilly's fault. Heather O'Reilly's a bit of an arch nemesis.
Do you know our dealings with Heather O'Reilly? We'll just bring it up real quick so we can get out, because we won't be able to move the conversation forward.
Also, it might be emotional for me. So.
Yeah, and it's also, this should be a talking part in one of your next articles, because Heather O'Reilly, we were with her at the ICC event that have House of Soccer
in Charlotte,
and she was there. She was the coach of the celebrity game, right? Mm-hmm. And we were sharing a trailer with Heather O'Reilly, and
an honor for anybody. I was so excited.
I was wildly flattered. It was incredible. I know she was like, who are these guys?
Right. Could you get these two loud boys out of here? But then, so we got some, like, crudité plates and all that, right? And all of a sudden, we all start eating this thing. Nobody knows what it is. Turns out it's called pimento cheese dip.
Oh,
yes. I had no idea what it was. Turns out it's like mayo and cheese mixed together with pepper. It's disgusting when you hear it, but as eating it, it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then we leave to go do our jobs. And then we see Heather O'Reilly entering the trailer. Like, hey, Heather, how are you? Right. She goes in. And then when we come back, she's gone. She had done, her job was done. And guess what was gone? The pimento cheese dip.
The entire trailer. It was
the whole thing.
It was like 3 pounds of pimento cheese dip.
This is cheese dip for an entire corporate event. And Heather O'Reilly took it with her. And I made the joke that she had it next to her in the car driving back to Cary, North Carolina. Turns out it was true.
Yeah. So we accused her of stealing it. And we were right.
And she said it was for my kids. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. You ate the whole pimento cheese dip on your own. So, yeah, she's our arch nemesis. Right.
It's valid.
Yeah.
I want to validate your feelings.
Thank you. Yeah. So at least now you know that your hero might have been a villain this entire time.
A little bit of a pimento cheese dip theft. We solved the caper. Oh, I bet you there's capers in it.
So I want to ask about, especially since you have worked with the league directly, on, I don't know, maybe an emotional level, seeing the league grow. It's seventh year.
Yep.
How does it feel now? There's an introduction of a new team, which we'll talk about in a moment. But how do you feel, how has your connection with the league grown since you've basically, you know, been there from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being on the conference call for the actual, like, announcement of this league, right? And I think that from end of 2012 into 2013 for the first season of the league, I mean, it's a completely different animal at this point. Like, we have some successful teams. It's not been without its challenges throughout the time. Like, we've lost a couple teams along the way, but in terms of the crowds that we've been seeing this season, getting actual television deals, the quality of play, people like Sam Kerr, you know, Alex Morgan, Christine Sinclair, Marta is in the league. Like, the talent is there. Are there things that can still be worked on? Absolutely. The work is pretty much never done. That's why a lot of us don't sleep in this world. But I do think that the league is in a really strong position. And as you were saying, like, expansion is happening. They've signed some new partnerships. Budweiser coming in as a sponsor was a huge thing this year. That's really clutch for them. So I think that the momentum is going in the right direction. And sometimes it takes strange ways for us to kind of push NWSL forward. But it has been overall, I think the growth is definitely in a place that I don't think I even expected.
Yeah. The one thing you tweeted out earlier, I believe it was today, about hoping that that the teams take advantage of, like, customizing kits and mm-hmm. doing things that are a little bit more unique. Yeah. Alexis is a very big fan of just fashion everything. It's just like so annoying.
I know you see me, you're like, clearly a fashion icon.
But he has a lot of opinions on this stuff.
But when it comes to kits, I think it's something that is something that's specific to soccer that really does draw a massive fan base to it. It bonds you with the fans. And honestly, why is it so hard for me to find, NWSL kits cut in my shape? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's always been a struggle on the women's side, too. It's not even just NWSL. Like, the fact that we still can't get, like, a 4-star U.S. national team jersey after they won the World Cup.
Right.
Impossible, right? And part of that is because we don't have the infrastructure, because people still don't believe that there's actually a market for it. So there's systemic stuff behind it, but
well,
actually,
I was listening to a couple lobbyists, and they told me.
But also, like, I mean, so the thing that I was talking about today, Ford Madison's kits, you know, Minneapolis City, their stuff is really cool. Chicago Red Stars, I think, actually has the best kit in the league. Like, I almost wore it today, and then I was like, I don't want to look partisan before this championship game. But they have, like, a great custom kit, the amount of design work that went into it. I mean, if you can get someone from a city that isn't Chicago to wear that, like, that, I think, is the success of actually moving the culture in a place that is going to help grow the game. And that's where NWSL has so much potential ahead of it. But there is a culture around it. And that's where I think people actually just need to find out about it in the meantime. But having cool kits is such an easy win.
I want to talk about the games that happened this Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. That was Sunday.
Sunday, yep.
The two matches, the playoffs, right? So the top four, if people do not know, the top four in the NWSL standings play in a one-game playoff to determine who will play in the final. And that was between the Chicago Red Stars and the Portland Thorns and the North Carolina Courage and the Seattle Reign. So I want to talk about what game should we start with first? Let's start with this, the Reign game,
sure.
Which is a strange way to
Reign
phrase
game.
It. the Tacoma Reign, which is like, that's a strange thing. Why does it say Seattle when they play in Tacoma?
I mean,
yeah, it's interesting just because, so I think it gets tied to, so Sky Blue FC, right? You guys know Sky Blue FC. They don't have a place tied to the name. And so they're questing for a way. All of those acronyms have to be tied to a location.
Correct.
So it is strange that it still says Seattle when they do not play in Seattle.
Right.
But I think it's just
great.
Like a
TAC right there.
Yeah.
And the
Tacoma Reign also sounds like a good truck. Reign, it's like a hell of a pickup. Bet on that thing.
No, the Courage win this game 4-1. And for the most part, this game was, the 90 minutes where you didn't know where any goal was going to come from.
Right.
The penalty that Heather O'Reilly does put away. And then the game, this is when the game started taking off. After Ifeoma Anumanu, right?
Yep.
She scores and ties the game. This is my first sort of take whenever I see the Courage and mm-hmm. the games I've seen. They are, to me, one of the best teams in the world, right? Mm-hmm. They just seem like, I would love to see the Courage play against the U.S. women's national team if they were duplicates of some of the players.
I don't know who would win that. I do not know who would win that game.
But that's like one of those things you do like in a FIFA game. You're like, you know what I mean?
So this is where we start the petition for FIFA to actually add NWSL
100%
to the game.
This
right?
would be
put
great.
Them in the rest of the world if you have to.
I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
But that's usually how I feel watching the Courage, where they seem like the most tactically sound team. The most the chemistry is clearly quality there. As far as teams that make mistakes, they seem to make the fewest. They play with the most confidence. So I was surprised that the rain kind of held on as long as they did. But it took their keeper being miraculous to do it.
Yeah, no, Casey Murphy had like a crazy game and goal for Rain FC. And I think that, you know, Vlatko Andonovski, who's their head coach and in theory probably our next U.S. national team coach, got all of the decisions right trying to face down the Courage. Like, you have to basically know, okay, they're going to take a million shots against you. Like, that is just their game. They're terrifying, really. Right. Like, they're probably the best women's professional team that has ever existed in this country, like, by like a million miles. So I think he got all of the decisions right, but then at some point, like, the Courage are just going to outlast you. The fitness is there. The decisions are there. They have so many weapons. The fact that you can pull an MVP finalist from 2018 off the bench in McCall Zerboni, and then a 2019 MVP finalist off the bench in Kristen Hamilton.
Not
like,
bad, huh?
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, the depth of that team is crazy. Their belief in each other is crazy. And, you know, Heyo spoke about it after the game of just, this isn't our season. Like, they just have this thing in their head that just keeps telling them, we're going
to
win this.
Yeah, well,
they seem to me like to be built specifically to win this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's give Heather O'Reilly the fan farewell. Mm-hmm. Let's give her a parade. Let's give her a championship. You know, let's give her something. Because it seems like at every angle, they're fully prepared for whatever you bring to them.
Right.
And I always used to yell this all the time. I used to say, like, test the keeper. Why aren't we testing the keeper? It seems like that must be written on the wall for North Carolina.
It's like hockey, though. It's like crash, you know, like, they just crashed the net for basically 90 minutes, and the fact that Rain withstood that for as long as they did, A, is a miracle.
Yeah.
But B, I think just proves that in the long run, the Courage are probably going to win simply because they just keep coming. And then, you know, extra time hits and it's just like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Well, and
see you later.
When they did tie the game up, and I looked at Heather O'Reilly and saw how I felt like she was more confident.
Yes.
After they gave up a goal.
It's like, you know, you punch a villain in a movie and they look at it and they're like, oh, now we dance.
Cheese.
Yeah. She wipes it. She's like, one of them was fat. They didn't need it.
there was that absolute certainty that her career was not ending there. I was sort of feeling the same way. We're like, oh, we've seen the Thorns and the Courage all the time. Right. It'd be nice if somebody else won. So I was like rooting for the underdog.
Right.
But Heather O'Reilly was like, I don't care about no damn underdog.
Yeah, underdog.
Like, that's the Courage mentality, is they think they're the underdogs no matter what situation that they're in, is which is why, like, I do lovingly refer to them as a cult. They have bought into that system that just, you know, they went to North Carolina as a team. Before that, they were in Western New York, and the core of that team formed a young group that all got drafted at the same time, like the Sam Mewis, Lynn Williams, that group. And that Western New York team really was an underdog when they won the first NWSL championship as the core of that team before moving to North Carolina. And they still, that is still the core identity of that team. No matter how many games they win, no matter how many trophies they lift, it does not matter to them. They are still like scrappy little jerks from Western New York trying to prove a point to the rest of the league.
Yeah, but the Courage feel a little bit like when you look at the roster, you're like, this ain't fair, right? It's a little bit like Manchester City. Why is the budget out for the Courage?
Yeah.
Do they have like oil money?
Yeah. How much TAM get out there in North Carolina?
It seems a little bit unfair, but I don't exactly know the salary cap rules or whatever, because they seem like they have a lot of very, very good players.
I mean, I think that Portland is even just as stacked as North Carolina is. Both of these teams have been constructed well. Part of what the North Carolina Courage benefit from is that they drafted so many of these now national team players before they ever made the team. Sam Mewis, back when she got drafted, was maybe long term in the national team picture, but is not nearly the player that she is today. So they, I think, have benefited from the fact that they've just made smart decisions early on that are now paying off. But like Kristen Hamilton, right? MVP finalist, was the final pick of that draft class. I mean, like number 36. And now in 2019, she's an MVP finalist. Like they have just found talent in ways that I think other teams have not succeeded at.
I just want to highlight also Shea Groom, who we saw.
Yes. She broke a rib.
She broke a rib. Yeah. Carly Lloyd broke her rib when they collided.
That brick wall. Carly Lloyd.
Shea Groom plays for Reign FC.
Right.
Broke a rib, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
3 months ago?
Yeah. Subbed on.
And subbed on and played in this game where I was just like,
you got so much more disability. Why are you going back to work?
That was just incredible to see. And again, it's that because we were on, we were in Red Bull Arena right, on the pitch.
On the sideline. That was August.
She actually, they
carted her off.
Yeah.
And I heard her say to, I think, a family member, someone who was with her, like, I'm in so much pain. This hurts so bad. Something like that. And it just humanized, you know, the whole soccer injury.
Right.
You know, it just made it real. And to see her go back on, I'm like, if I wasn't that much paper cut, I'd still be out. You know what I mean? I'd be like, no, go get another co-host, Christian. It still kind of hurts sometimes to open letters, you know?
Clearly 6 to 8 weeks.
I mean, what am I supposed to do here? Doctor says it's an Achilles in my hand. Now, we talked about what got North Carolina Courage into the final. Let's talk a little bit about Chicago Red Stars versus Portland Thorns.
Yes.
Now, this, obviously, a great game. Most people would have expected Thorns to go through, right?
I think historically,
yeah.
The Red Stars hadn't beaten the Thorns since 2013. So,
okay.
A little Canada versus US action there, huh?
But this, I love in this game, again, it's one of those like you're rooting for the underdog a little bit. I have, sorry to my Thorns friends. We love you.
Yeah, love you, Kayla.
Love you guys. Sam Kerr, how could you not be a fan of Sam Kerr?
Right.
She's incredibly dominant. Golden Boot winner, right?
Golden Boot winner.
And her goal is enough to get them through. I'm happy that they won. Happy for them. I'm terrified for them now that they have a goal against the Courage. What are they going
to
do?
They need to play with Courage to go up against the Courage. But Sam Kerr also, when we went to the game at Rebel Arena, which was Reign versus Sky Blue, Sam Kerr played for Sky Blue. Mm-hmm. And there was someone who I saw with a Sam Kerr jersey, a gentleman with a Sam Kerr jersey, tucked all the way into his pants.
Ooh.
Right, he was wearing jeans, brown belt, black shoes. And not to make this about fashion, but I was like, either this dude is an accountant, Sam Kerr's dad, or a cop, a bad undercover cop. You don't see that very often. But I think that's also a compliment to NWSL when now we got Herbs going to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a good thing. Like, we're developing. Right? Yeah. You got to bring in
every market.
Everybody.
Spoken to.
All demographics.
I know. Yeah. Sam Kerr transcends.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She's just that incredible.
So what are the Red Stars going? Yeah. How do they have a shot against the Courage?
So Sam Kerr, first of all, has scored every single game that the Courage and the Red Stars have played this year.
Okay.
So that's good thing number one. Good thing number two is that Chicago actually beat them twice this year. So now, granted, it's the championship. It's in Cary, North Carolina. It's in their home stadium. So I think it is still a little bit of an uphill climb. But I do think that we saw something kind of promising for the last 15 minutes of that Red Stars Thorns game, where Rory Dames, the head coach, his only sub of that entire game was to bring on Katie Naughton, basically to pull a Jill Ellis and throw a third center back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be able to contain all like 15,000 of the Courage attackers, right?
How tentative you are when you say contain. You were like, all right.
It is an uphill climb, but I do think that if there is any team that we have seen now through the full season and now through the semifinals, Chicago's probably the only team that actually has a meaningful shot at beating the Courage.
Okay, that's saying a lot. Though the one thing I was sort of the goal that Sam Kerr did score, the interesting part was she is a proven goal scorer. I was more concerned about in that game against Adriana French. I thought it was like one mistake that she made,
right.
But I think she really did make a poor judgment as far as when that ball was going forward and Sam Kerr was running to it. I really felt like Adriana French was backing away from she was like on her heels.
Yeah.
Like she barely got a chance to go for the ball.
You also, I mean, where do you look? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you have all of a sudden, you're like, why are so many people wearing the same jersey? I thought we only had 11 out here. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's overwhelming. So, I mean, you can't really, there's nowhere really to turn.
I think that she tends to play closer to her, like, I mean, you look at Casey Murphy in that first semifinal, and I think she was very aggressive. impressive in terms of how she came out against the Courage. I think Franch likes to play a slightly closer to her line, but also I think once Sam Kerr is kind of on someone's back shoulder, I don't know how much left there is to actually do. And they had just gotten a chance like 2 minutes before that goal that was essentially like the exact same play where Kerr got a ball over the top and had gotten a shot off and it went wide. And like they basically just reran it and it worked. So Yuki Nagasato, I think her partnership with Kerr is really clutch, but I don't know if I super blame Franch in that moment, just because I think when you do get a one-on-one against Sam Kerr, I'm going to take Sam Kerr in about 99% of those situations.
Well, I'm blaming Adriana France. I'm sorry.
I guess, you know, for the fans watching this, because especially Chicago, Red Stars, Portland Thorns, you're just trying to see, all right, who's going to be able to take on the Courage? And then it just sounds like nobody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think it's going to take for Chicago to be able to sort of level the playing field as much as they can? Do you think it's something where you park the bus? Do you think it's something where, all right, if you're going to send somebody forward, maybe we hit them on a counter? Like, right. What is the potential? What is something that the fans should be looking out for to say, like, here's the tactics that Chicago is going to try to pull out?
I mean, I think it's really interesting if a team actually doesn't try to go for parking the bus, low block strategy. Like, I think that's where the rain went essentially on Sunday, and it works for a certain amount. But then also, if you're going to beat the Courage, you have to score goals, right? Yeah. Like you fundamentally do. And if you have an attacker like Sam Kerr, like, just go at him. Like, I honestly think if the game turns wide open, I think Chicago actually probably has a better chance, because Chicago does have the ability to score, especially if they can get someone else involved beyond just Kerr. Mm-hmm. Like, if Yuki Nagasato, like, she has 8 goals, 8 assists on the season. If she can get a goal in that game, or, I mean, even Casey Short has scored a couple very clutch goals this year. If you can get someone else that's involved in a way where it's not just Sam Kerr trying to make magic happen on her own, then I think that Chicago A has a shot, but B, like, I think you just kind of have to go right back at North Carolina, because in the long run, if you sit back and you let them just take shot after shot, I mean, we've seen it. They're just eventually going to run you down.
Yeah.
So pull the keeper is what you're saying.
send Alyssa Nair up.
Right
send
away.
Her up. Just that's all I want in this life. Is I was so hopeful in the U.S. national team game, Jill Ellis's final game in Chicago, when they sent her up. I was like, Alyssa Nair goal right now. So if she does it in NWSL, I'll be perfectly happy. That's even better, actually.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah, it has been. I haven't watched too many Red Stars games, but when you see the like the star power of the teams, that especially that make it to the top four, you sort of understand like that they do have several options of where they can get some goals from. Mm-hmm. And Sam Kerr, I mean, we saw it at the World Cup where we're like, Who else on Australia's team is going to score?
No, she carried it on her own.
Yeah, and I don't know. And I guess it feels like it's a little similar with the Red Stars. But the Red Stars, they didn't get to second place accidentally.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, so. And I think that they've peaked at a really good time. Like, they've now won 6 games in a row. And I think the Courage have, you know, they played Portland in Portland and won 6-0. And I think since that game, they have also been on like this crazy form. But I do think that it's the two best teams in the league. Like, these are the two teams that deserve to be in this game. And I think that it is definitely the Courage. Like, it's on them to win at home. Right. And I think that would cement their place as one of the greatest all time teams. But I do think that Chicago is capable of coming up with a surprise. But I think part of it too is that you start playing without the pressure, right? That's what the rain came in. Like, everything that they kept saying into this game is like, we don't have the pressure of this game. We're not playing at home. And I think that worked for them through the first 90 minutes. So if you can probably like not have North Carolina score 3 goals on you in the span of like 15 minutes, that's a good thing. But, you know, I think that if Chicago actually goes at the Courage, like, A, it would be an extremely entertaining game for everyone, but B, you know, they might actually just manage to outscore them.
The NWSL final, the championship final, is going to be happening this Sunday.
October 27th.
October 27th. We will be there. The Courage against the Red Stars in Cary, North Carolina. I'm excited about this because we are going to our first NWSL final.
This is it.
Yeah.
NWSL, I'm going to tuck my jersey in.
So you got to dress appropriately.
You know what I mean? Don't disrespect Samantha Kerr like that. You come out here not looking like an accountant.
So what can, I don't know, what can we expect? Not just, I mean, not specifically from the game, right. but from what happens around. How is the NWSL championship right. covered? What is there?
When does Lady Gaga come on?
What's the halftime show right. like? You know what? Please give us a little preview.
Yeah, I think you might be a little underwhelmed. I'm not going to lie. Also, I think it is going to rain probably most of the weekend in beautiful Cary, North Carolina. But there are some things mostly for media around it. Like we always have a media day where both teams come in. I will tell you, last year's probably won't get repeated. It was actually at Nike and it turned into a basketball pickup game with Portland Thorns. So that was probably like our best one ever. Okay. Right. I don't know if we're going to hit that height again.
Are we going to the wrong NWSL?
No.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to bring out one of those slap hockey things yeah. and we can all play that. Remember that thing? Remember the little
knock
box?
Hockey?
Knock hockey. That's what it was. You get the riff.
Yeah. So there's media
like,
day.
Are you done with your stupid toy reference?
Just rolling with a foosball table. Yeah. See what happens. Yeah. Media day. There's going to be a press conference on Saturday and then the game on Sunday. There's not like a huge amount. Usually what ends up happening is that the NWSL supporters, especially when Portland is involved, there tends to be night before karaoke, which gets interesting, I will say, as someone who's been to both the night before and then the night after, they tend to get interesting. But they're, you know, I think that that's kind of one of the areas of growth for NWSL is like, you know, there's no all-star game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like
yeah.
karaoke choices.
Yeah, no, I mean,
a bigger book.
Yeah.
A little bit more hip hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So having more events around the yeah. championship and, you know, like part of the struggle, I think, with this league, too, is that, you know, it's not just for kids and little girls. Like that's kind of the narrative that we are slowly actually escaping. So like Budweiser coming in, like there are adults
oh, that's
who,
kids.
Yeah, like I think it's okay to be like, hey, we're going to go drink before this game and actually, you know, have it.
Yeah.
Be like a cool thing to go to and travel to as an adult. So, you know, maybe with expansion, if we ever get a championship in Louisville, which is, you know, coming into the league in 2021, we'll just have like a whole bourbon night. And
oh,
then,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. What happened to Alexis? We lost him.
We lost him at the NWSL final.
He's coming home in a few weeks. Well, he's got to clean up a little bit from that bourbon.
So speaking to, yeah. of that, the expansion, we did see that earlier today when we're taping this. So Louisville will be the team coming in 2021 in a new stadium. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for just your take on just the growth of the league and in that particular city? And then for 2020, I know you had mentioned that there might be another team.
Right. Yeah. I think we're still trying to wait and see. So the Louisville deal was done, right? Like it's signed. League didn't want to wait to announce it. I'm sure Louisville didn't want to wait to announce it. So we got that on Tuesday. In terms of 2020, Sacramento is a big possibility. That's kind of the big name that's still floating around. Obviously, they're currently slightly busy announcing the fact that they're going to be joining MLS.
Right. Sure.
But in theory, that could be the 2020 team, which would be a huge step forward for NWSL. There's no team in California, and California is kind of an important state in this
yeah.
country.
A lot of people live there.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, they spend money on soccer, yeah, that kind of yeah. thing. So NWSL has been looking for a really long time. What's the right market in California? Sacramento might be the one that gets across the line first. Louisville coming in 2021. I think it's an interesting market. Like I've seen a lot of people saying, like, is it the right pick just because it's not necessarily, you know, a New York City or LA or Atlanta, right? But the nice thing about Louisville is that that's going to be the only actual like top tier professional team in the city. Right. So they have a USL team. So there will be like support from a soccer side. But NWSL team is actually going to be the game in town in addition to college and the USL stuff. So I think that, you know, we see how successful a market like Portland can be where there's right. not a huge amount of competition. And I think that might be a perfect test case in Louisville to be like, what happens when NWSL is the pro team in town?
Yeah. Is there any or I guess maybe research or do people look into like what college programs are successful mm-hmm. and specifically for women's soccer, do they kind of look in that direction and then kind of see if the, a pro team can work in that area? Is that does college factor into it?
I think it does, especially college soccer is really important on the women's side of the game. It's not so much on the men's side of the game. So, I mean, you look at someplace like North Carolina, right? They're right next door to UNC, which historically has had some success on the women's side of the program. Just a little bit.
Say it mildly.
So I think that college is definitely considered, and I think, you know, Louisville does have a pretty successful women's team. There are, you know, college sports there that draw people. But I think first and foremost, what the league is looking for from expansion markets is an ownership group that gets it and is willing to say, OK, not only do we get it at this moment, but we know what it can be. And having someone that's willing to invest in a long term play for the growth of women's soccer, because right now I think you're coming into the league and you're not exactly like saying like, oh yeah, we're going to like pocket millions of dollars year one.
Right.
So you've got to find someone who's willing to invest and willing to say, okay, this is something that we're in for in the long term, because that's always been kind of the historical problem with women's soccer. I had someone today saying like, well, LA Galaxy have done this before. They own the Soul, like the same ownership group owned the Soul. They lasted like a year and they were out. So, you know, you can't expect success day one. It's year seven of the league. We're looking at year eight, year nine. It's not going to be even MLS from day one.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think the actual goal is to have an ownership group that knows, okay, this is going to be a 5-year, 10-year plan for us.
I'm curious. I'm curious about, speaking of like the maybe grading ownership groups or grading certain teams, what is going on with the Orlando Pride? Because the from a marketing perspective, the players, everything's just absolutely on point. But they not only...
It's a reality show when you look closer.
Only does it, do they not just have very poor games, the players do not look happy. That's like the one thing I notice. So what do you think is like the next season, what can they fix?
Yeah, I mean, they're such an interesting story because, like, even I look at them and, you know, I've seen them live in person a couple of times a season. And it's not like there's one thing where you say, like, oh, if you tweak that, it's probably going to be okay. Like, right. I mean, we've seen a huge turnaround from Sky Blue FC both on and off the field this season, right? It's not. The nice thing about NWSL is you can literally go from the worst team in the league to one of the best within the span of a season if you change a few things. I don't know what the Orlando Pride need to change. Like, I just like, is it because we thought before last season when Mark Skinner came in as head coach that it was a coaching problem? It wasn't a coaching problem. They're still not getting results. So the question is it, you know, is it a roster thing? Is it a chemistry? Like, again, all of us who are, you know, not necessarily in that market, they look fine sometimes too when they come off the field. Like Allie Krieger's sitting there in a hallway willing to talk to me for 10 minutes about the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're just like beaten down or anything, but you get them on the field sometimes and they can't close out games. They can't, you know, they can't find wins in a way that you would expect out of a team.
Yeah,
it is confounding in a way that, like, I think other teams we have been able to look at in this league and said, okay, you've got XYZ for problems. If you resolve these in the offseason, Orlando, I think just like, I don't know if they just need to basically blow it up and start all over again, but it's not even just on the women's side too. Like, obviously they have a problem on the men's side. And I don't know if that's coming from the same source or if it just happens to be, you know, both teams are going through just some existential questions at the same time.
One question I have is, how far do you think we are from the time when, and it's two questions. Mm-hmm. One, teams like LAFC and other teams that now have their own soccer specific stadium start to bring on a women's team, mm-hmm. whether it's associated with that ownership or not, or just someone that rents out the stadium. And how far are we away from women's academies?
Yeah, I mean, women's academies actually do exist within like the DA, but I think that I've actually seen a lot of complaints, even from NWSL coaches, that the development system in the country is kind of broken right at the moment, just because I think that it's slightly different from the men's side. So the way that the academy system has been set up kind of felt shoehorned into the women's system as it previously existed. So I think that, you know, we're starting to see a couple younger players come up and train with NWSL teams. I definitely think that it's something that we could probably work on quite a bit, but I don't know if we're necessarily at that same level of like really needing an academy system at this point within the U.S. In terms of LAFC, Atlanta, like those teams are definitely interested, right? They've been talking to the league for a while. It's just a matter of, are they going to take the leap? Are they actually invested in putting that amount of money into a women's side or having someone come into the stadium in a meaningful way? And I think that one of the things that I feel better about is the fact that it hasn't happened yet, because it means that when it does happen, they're actually going to be 100% all in, rather than just saying, oh, we should have a women's team.
Right.
Because I think that's where we start to see the tension of what comes first as a priority. Right. Because if LAFC is coming in and it's more like an obligation thing, or it's brand driven rather than being invested in growing the NWSL, that's where I think a lot of us who have been around for a while start to get nervous and say, okay, hey, we've seen this song before.
Yeah.
Like, let's slow our roll just another year.
Here's why I'm not as worried, is because Mia Hamm is there.
Yes.
So I figure she won't allow that. She's one of the 4,500 owners of LAFC. I feel like she won't allow that to happen. At least, you would assume so.
Yeah, I think you always need someone on the inside who's going to advocate in a meaningful fashion, right? And I think the question is, does she have enough power within the LAFC organization to actually make it happen in a way that is productive for them?
Right.
And I think that that's part of why we haven't seen it yet, is because they have other priorities, like currently probably trying to win MLS Cup.
Right.
But in the long run, do I think LAFC is probably going to join this league? Yes. Right. Like, LA makes sense. But this is, again, like where we've seen the struggle of major cities not necessarily responding to women's soccer, right? Like, Louisville is interesting because it gives you a chance to look and see, okay, does women's soccer do well when it doesn't have a lot of competition? Whereas you step into a market like LA, this is what we're seeing with Chicago Red Stars, is how hard it is to get meaningful coverage of the team when you're not the only game in town. In LA, like, you're not at all. So
are the Red Stars staying in Bridgeview, or are they also
staying in Bridgeview? Yeah, which is a whole, like, that turned into a whole fight because some local outlet was like, hey, you don't have to go to Bridgeview anymore for soccer. And everyone was like,
yeah, this stuff.
Still here.
Except
yes, you do.
You wouldn't let me finish.
So speaking of that, the stadium issue, because we saw when we went to Rebel Arena, tons of Sky Blue fans. It was great to see. Clearly, it was more accessible for a lot of people. We see the Washington Spirit play their games at Audi Field, and people are showing up, right? So what is been like, how much for 2020 is the NWSL going to pursue trying to get their games in MLS stadiums?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a huge step forward, is actually putting it. I mean, half of the battle is being able to get, like, young people on public transportation to a soccer game. And so many of the NWSL stadiums are in spots that are not accessible via public transportation or near a city center, right? That's, again, Portland. You look at it where that is, you can walk to the stadium from pretty much any point downtown. Yeah. Like, that location is, I think, the model of what works. And that's, I mean, it's not just an NWSL issue, either. Like, that's MLS, too. Like, that's why Chicago Fire moved back to Soldier Field, so that way they were in walking distance of the city center.
Right.
So that, I think, where we're starting to see MLS stadiums being accessible, if NWSL can take advantage of that, that's a huge leap forward for them, rather than playing, like, out in the suburbs. Because that's always been one of the things that I think is holding back, like, the full audience potential of this league, is you get, you know, the kids playing soccer or who are in the kids leagues being marketed to more than people who are interested in drinking outside of the game before, you know, like,
there is sort of, yeah. Soccer deserves a culture around it. It's not just the 90 minutes. And that's why you're seeing, I think it would work really well. And again, this is from an outsider's perspective. I think it would work really well. LAFC and Atlanta United, just to be use those as examples. It just kind of makes sense. And it makes sense for me to see Sky Blue playing at Rebel Arena. It just makes sense. It's a place, it's not the easiest to get to at Rebel Arena. It's two swipes on a Metro card. What are we doing? you know, come on, Path. Get your act together. But it is easier to get to than, you know, to go to $26 on a train.
I literally did not go to Sky Blue FC games unless I could rent a Zipcar. Like that was my thing of,
we'll pick us up next time and we'll go. Meg, what are you doing? Driving by yourself? We're gonna have Cooligans in the car.
Carpool. Yeah.
We can take the HOV lane, the home lane.
We got a system. Meg, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. We appreciate your insight, your humor, and thank you so much for joining us. It means a lot.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And good luck writing all those articles. We're gonna be excited. We're gonna party a little bit.
So again, we will be hanging out at the Under Wissell Championship this Sunday. So watch the game if you are not going.
It's on ESPN.
It's on ESPN.
It's the most accessible game.
So do the right thing and support the league. And this is the biggest game. So this is your at least an opportunity to watch if you have not watched this season. So Meg Linehan, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Meg Linehan, for joining us. That was awesome.
Great. She is so good.
Again, the final is this Sunday. Watch it on ESPN. If you're gonna be there, say hello to us. Say hello to us at the in Cary. So
yeah, and also somebody else hire a full time women's soccer writer so she ain't got to write all this on her own.
It's a heavy burden on Meg. But thank you again, Meg Linehan of The Athletic, for joining us. Let's talk about a couple other things before we wrap up today.
We talked a little bit about expansion with Meg, but expansion also happening in
Major League
MLS.
Soccer. Yeah. Okay, I think it's the 86th team.
Yeah, that is not bad.
Pretty good.
Next season,
still no promotion relegation. Yeah. We're not gonna do it.
No one's gonna go down. We're all on the same.
Okay, we're all 86 teams and we're all number one.
Also, there's no more regular season, it's all playoffs. So
Sacramento Republic officially joining Major League Soccer.
It's a big deal for them, and they've been trying for forever. They had to switch like ownership twice.
Yeah, because they're like, you ain't got enough money.
Damn, what you got in your pocket? MLS was like, how much is it to get in? What you got?
That ain't enough.
Yeah. Did you see the video they put out?
Yes. This is the weirdest thing about this announcement was who was in the promo video.
Right.
Because it was, Tom Brady, which is cool. I don't know what's his relation to Sacramento. I don't know if he's from there.
David Spade was in.
David Spade. This is the weird one. David Spade, comedian. We love when comedians are involved in soccer.
What a wonderful thing. Like, oh, look, comedians in soccer. But the first thing he says is, I don't know anything about soccer. Why are you in the video?
Get anyone else.
Anybody else? But there are no comedians that know about soccer. Wait a minute.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. You know what? We've heard of soccer.
Yeah.
We know a little bit about it.
A little bit.
I'm sure there's, I mean, also, you could have told them like, hey, can you send us a different take of that one?
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of it, you say you don't know about the sport that we play.
Just a little bit. I feel like that for some reason, excuse whatever you're going to say after that. If you start with, look, I don't know anything about this.
But
I got paid.
Cool to see Sacramento finally getting in the league. They will be the 29th team. I don't know what year they're going to be starting. 2022.
So
by 2020, we currently have 24 teams.
Yeah.
And in two years,
we're going to have 1,700. It's going to be a lot. Yeah.
So it seems like
up the Biloxi, Des Moines United.
You know what's funny is that every time you make this joke from time to time about like very obscure cities having soccer teams, and people get mad at you because
from those cities.
From those cities, because they're like, hey, we play soccer here.
Yeah, we would love a team.
Because they're like, look at these damn Yanks talking about their big city folk talking about their old soccer teams.
I'll go to Sporting Grand Rapids and apologize.
So, you don't want to disenfranchise anybody.
No, apparently I do. I just keep doing it. You know what I mean? What's the point?
But no, happy for Sacramento. Another a new city for us to go visit on top of what? Miami, Louisville.
Hell yeah.
So Sacramento, what are the other... It's a couple. I can't remember all of them. There's too many at this point. But now it's feeling more and more like the plan is to have that promotion relegation between MLS 1 and MLS 2. I don't know.
That's I think they're like. Excited about 32 or 34 teams. I think that's what they're going to go to.
Okay. So who knows?
I mean, how many more TV markets are there at this? Or is that even important anymore? It's all on the internet.
Exactly. I mean,
come on, TikTok United.
The boys, they got to go to the cities to have the most iPhones.
Yeah. We're just like, what kind of bandwidth you got here? That's how we pick a team.
That's how we sell soccer.
You got gigabit? Yo, you getting 18, bro.
So the one thing I wanted to talk about real quick was...
Speaking of Northern California.
Yes, Napa Valley 1839 did something really, really cool recently. They just had a match against the New York Cosmos. Yeah. We're Auntie, we were talking about it.
Auntie Agoli was here.
But the Napa Valley did a really cool thing. They have these new kits that you can purchase that are about ending gun violence.
Yeah, the front of the shirt says enough.
Yes, and it has, and on the kit itself has the names of different cities that have had mass shootings ever since the one that happened. So basically, the reason it's related, we talked about this on our podcast, because the owner of the team, his daughter was one of the people lost. The
fatalities, unfortunately. For, again, we're really sorry to hear that. But I think the thing that sticks out is the shirt has all the cities that have had mass shootings since then.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you know, I get it that this isn't a political show, but it should scare you a little bit that that's enough cities to fill a jersey. Yeah.
So so pick up a jersey. Go to Napa Valley 1830 and just look it up on Google. You'll find it.
Yeah, this is it, baby. God, next week we got amazing shows. Ramses Sandoval's going to be here.
Exactly.
Baby.
Is that from Univision? Yeah. Deportes.
Plus, we got the conference semifinals.
Exactly.
It's going to be dope.
It's going to be dope. Thank you for watching. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!